Coming up in this week's program, we look at the small business renaissance for paleo restaurants on both sides of the pond. Did you know you can now get a paleo vending machine in your office? We shall also be looking at the book Low Carb, High Quality Diet, Food for a Thinner, Healthier Life. On top of that, Alan and I will be going through the deep and dark and nifty question, is dairy allowed in a paleo diet? All that coming up very soon. Hello again, Mark Moxham here. I'm in the studio yet again with my co-presenter, Alan Brough. Hello, Alan.
Hello, Mark, and hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us today.
So what's coming up in and around the world of low-carb and paleo at the moment? Well, I don't know if you've noticed, in quite a few of our cities and even some of the larger towns, paleo restaurants are starting to make quite a bit of appearance. And that's not just in North America, that's right the way across the world. One of the places that caught my eye was Sydney Morning Herald, I think it was, has run a story on the whole range of different types of paleo restaurants that are not only sprouting up, but starting to do a roaring trade. The only thing was that, you know, what caught my eye about it was the reporter said, a typical paleo menu could incorporate eggs, steak, chicken for breakfast and that sort of thing, meat-based soups or salads for lunch, and roast meat and vegetables for dinner. Now, to my mind, that's not just paleo, that's ideally low carb as well. Alan, what do you think about that type of menu?
Well, that menu sounds very paleo to me, but then again, I'm not the low carb expert here. I would agree with that, keeping in mind that we're all different and your protein intake should be adapted to your own body weight, whether you're male or female, whether you're an office worker or an athlete, whether you're a kid growing or you're an older person that doesn't need as much protein and energy as when you're young and in full bloom. So again, you know, I suggest we all take this diet with a grain of salt and adapt it to your own personal needs and not overload on protein. Just keep it balanced between the protein. Typically, a human being needs about 4 to 8 ounces protein per day to function and replenish their muscles and so on and so forth. So above and beyond that, I would be cautious not to encourage people to eat a big slab of 1 pound steak, for example. But that's just me. Again, I'm not an athlete, so I keep that. If you are a triathlon or Ironman competition, by all means, you need more protein intake. But if you're an office worker, also keep in mind you do not need that much protein. That's my impression.
That's true. If I want energy and stuff like that, I tend to sort of go towards fat. Increase my fat levels.
Right, right. I've actually discovered recently, which is something I've sort of heard in a kind of a peripheral way, is this Tibetan coffee. I don't know if you heard of it.
No, not that one. No.
It's basically OT, Tibetan tea, actually, for them. But someone is turn that into a coffee drink, and what they do is they, you know, typically one would put cream, but instead they put coconut oil in the coffee as an extra amount of healthy fat.
Yeah.
To give energy.
Mm. Now I'd actually seen, and I think it was young Jimmy Moore was talking about it, about putting not so much coconut cream in the coffee, but just coconut fat.
Right, right. Coffee. And what I do personally is, because I'm French and my thing is butter, when I do my hot cocoa in the morning, I add a pat of butter in it, mm-hmm. and just use the blender and blend it in. So it gives me that rich, smooth butter flavor with the, you know, with the advantage of the healthy fat to it. Yeah. And I only use organic butter, by the way.
Yeah, and I bet you put your butter in your soup as well, don't you?
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
How did you know?
It's one of those habits that I learned.
Are you looking into my pots
No, just
when
the
I'm
fridge.
cooking? Okay.
Excellent. Anyway, staying on the paleo theme for a minute, another story that caught my eye is that you can now find paleo vending systems appearing in your office building very soon. A company called Paleo Express has announced a delivery of the industry's first exclusive paleo diet vending machines. So look out for those more. When we get hold of their details, we'll actually stick the contact details below the program notes. In fact, you can find all of the things that we talk about, any of the links that we found and so forth, always put below the program as program notes. Moving on. This week's book review is about a book called Low Carb, High Quality Diet, subtitled Food for a Thinner, Healthier Life. Now, this one's actually by a chap called Frederick Paulhan, and he is the author of other books, which we'll look at very briefly in a minute. But this is his latest book. Now, it may not actually be out in your market yet, but simply put, it's exactly what it says: low carb, high quality. And he says that for most people achieving an optimal health and a good physique, it normally means diet, exercise, and patience. Frederick's promise with this book is that getting in shape doesn't have to be a chore. Now, I don't know if you know it, Frederick Paulhan is one of Sweden's number one nutrition gurus. He's also the author of 50 Ways to Boost Your Metabolism. Again, there'll be links to that in the show notes. And he goes on to offer his expert advice for building your ideal body while at the same time maintaining an excellent quality of life. What I'd like you to do for us, if you get time, is have a look at this book, if it's something that interests you anyway, and let us know your thoughts on it. We'd like to have your reviews so that we can pass on if it's good to other people or if it's just a rotten tomato. Okay, that's Low Carb, High Quality Diet, Food for a Thinner Life by Frederick Paulhan. Have you got any thoughts on that particular book, Alan, from what you've seen of it?
I like what he's saying, and it all makes sense to me. This is pretty much what I advocate my own book. Eat quality, good quality food, cut out all the carbs or as much as you can. In my personal opinion, we should still keep fruits for its other benefits. But besides that, all processed grains and carbohydrates should be taken out, and then concentrate on healthy meats, fruits, and vegetables. Yes, it makes sense. And as far as exercise, yeah, we all need some form of exercise. It could be anything you enjoy. I personally enjoy dancing, so that's my exercise. But you know, you can pick an exercise you want as long as you move and get your muscles going and then get your heart pumping. And
yep, there's nothing like a good bit of salsa, is there really?
That's all the requirements I personally offer. Because I'm French, and especially from the south of France, I'm a little lazy, so I won't give you the hardcore workouts and none of that. But we definitely need to move daily and get some form of movement going so that you get not only your blood pumping, but your digestive system working. Because whether you walk, you run, you dance, you also sort of massage the middle of your body doing that, because your muscles are moving and it helps actually eliminate your food much better when you do some form of exercise.
That's true. That's true. What type of dancing do you like, Alan?
Pretty much anything. My favorite is Latin dances, so salsa.
Salsa?
Salsa.
Yeah.
Salsa, merengue, cumbia. I also like, you know, swing and jitterbug.
Yep.
And of course,
I like those
my
too.
All-time favorite is slow dancing.
Oh, the romantic.
cheek to cheek.
Cheek to cheek, okay. So, on to the main story of the week. In our main story for this week, we're going to answer the question, is dairy allowed in the paleo diet? Now, Alan, you've got a real background in the paleo diet, And I know you've got some relatively, I won't say radical views, but they're not what some people might call hardcore paleo. What do you think is the right stand to have on whether or not you have dairy in the paleo diet?
Yeah, as usual, I have an opinion on everything. But in this case, unlike some of the hardcore paleo proponents, I'm kind of middle of the road on this particular subject. For one thing, because I'm French, I could not live without dairy, especially cheese. Mm-hmm. But my opinion in the case is there's twofold. One is, first of all, are you allergic to dairy products? And that's an important question, because we seem to have higher incidence of dairy allergies. And part of it is due to age. As we get older, we don't have the right enzymes to process dairy, so we have lactose intolerance. But that's just one side of the issue. The other side of the issue is that, as in every other processed food, I would put a disclaimer. I would say, personally, I would say avoid processed dairy, which all that entails, and I'll have a little more details about this later. I would personally prefer and suggest that you stick with raw dairy if you have access to it. So, for example, raw milk. I know in some states it's against the law, but I know if you're smart, there are ways to find raw milk if you really want that. Mm-hmm. I have had clients tell me that since they drink raw milk, they're not allergic to milk anymore.
No, I have the same. I can't drink pasteurized milk, but I can drink raw milk.
Yeah, so if you avoid pasteurized and homogenized milk, which is really not digestible by your body, then, you know, when I was a kid, we had milk straight from the cow. I mean, I actually had the little pail, go to the farm that was about a mile away, walk there, get the milk almost literally still warm from the cow, bring it back home, and that's what we drank. And nobody at the time, and that was, well, I won't tell you my age, but I was a while back. And but
are you 21 and a bit then, Alan? Yeah?
Nobody ever told us how supposedly dangerous dairy was for us. You know, it was all because we trusted the farmers, and the farmer was a clean farmer. There was no, you know. But nowadays, milk, especially in those factory farms, they contain so many dangerous products that they have to process it in order to, quote unquote, clean it. And this is my problem with processed dairy, is that I personally avoid it because I know that what they do to it to make it drinkable and safe is not healthy for your body. Your body will not digest it. So going back to raw milk, if you can find it. I know raw cheese is available widely. I would suggest you eat only aged raw milk, especially if you have tend to have sensitivities with dairy. The reason for aged raw cheese is not because it's dangerous. It's that the fermentation process and the enzyme process, once it's past 90 days, will eliminate. It will digest the lactose in the cheese. So you might, if you eat, for example, raw fresh cheese, fairly fresh, it's still soft, you might have a reaction to it, but if you buy the same cheese aged 90 days and over, you won't have any reaction because the lactose has been basically absorbed by the enzyme in the aging process.
All right. So the actual aging process gets rid of the lactose.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And
so if you've got a problem with lactose protein, then does that mean that just by having aged cheese, that goes away?
My personal experience is yes. If I eat fresh cheese, I tend to have digestive trouble because I am lactose intolerant. But if I eat aged cheese, I'm fine. I can eat all the cheese I want and it doesn't bother me. If you still are sensitive to cow's milk cheese, then you might want to think about goat milk or goat cheese. Mm-hmm. My all-time favorite cheese is goat cheese. And so
Oh,
it's even
yes.
better, as in less of a chance of reaction from my body than cow's milk. But I like to, I like to vary my cheese. I like to have a variety of cheese. So, but my mainstay cheese is goat milk, goat cheese, and then I would, get Camembert or Roquefort, which is, very beneficial for your health as well. Roquefort, because of the penicillin in the blue cheese and the Roquefort, the green, that's all penicillin. It's actually healthy for you, to the point where in the old days, again, I'm talking my grandparents, on the farm, if you'd scrape or you cut yourself, what they would spread on your boo-boo was actually penicillin from the blue cheese. I mean, I know it sounds a little gross, but if you
No, not at
once you
all.
heal, you can lick it off and you're back to business.
I'd much rather have something natural
Okay.
spread on my body than something unnatural, that's for
Absolutely.
sure.
So basically, my take on this is that if you're not allergic to dairy, by all means, it's a very good, healthy source of protein. Just avoid the processed cheese, pasteurized, homogenized, processed. The reason why, in my opinion, is that we have so much problems coming from dairy, from industrial farms. They are typically living in pretty dirty conditions, so they are pumped up with antibiotics to keep them, quote unquote, healthy. Also, the fact that antibiotics is used as a way to fatten the cows faster. And plus, they typically contain growth hormones because the poor animals are injected bovine growth hormones to grow faster. And the result of that is that I see kids, and especially young girls, that reach puberty much earlier than they used to be in the old days. So if you take that into account, and the fact that typically factory farm cows are fed genetically engineered grains, which also makes them sick, so you put all of this combined with the pasteurization and homogenization, and you do not have a healthy product.
No, and of course, the pasteurization process itself kills off all the enzymes that are actually in the milk to help us digest it, aren't
Yes,
they?
and it damages the healthy fats contained in the milk naturally, especially when it's grass-fed milk from a cow that's feeding on healthy grass. It's loaded with omega-3s and beta carotenes and all the good things that you can find in really good quality milk, that hasn't been processed.
You mentioned it briefly earlier, but what for those people who are totally intolerant to cow's milk, what are the alternatives?
My favorite choice would be nut milk. So almond milk is my number one choice because it's the most easily available. Coconut milk is also a very good choice. And a little more expensive would be hazelnut milk or hemp milk. So these are good
Hemp milk.
alternative vegetarian sources of milk. I am a little more suspicious about soy. For the main reason is most of soy milk out there, unless it's certified organic, is coming from genetically engineered soy, which is not a good thing. And then for us men, because soy contains phytoestrogens, unless you want to grow breasts, I would stay away from it. For us guys, that is.
Anything else we need to know about whether or not you can have dairy on a paleo diet?
No, I think I covered pretty much everything. It's a personal choice. So if obviously if you don't feel comfortable with it, by all means, avoid it. But if you're wondering if, let's say you love milk and cheese, and all of a sudden you're told that on the paleo diet you cannot have any dairy, well, if you love it and you're not allergic to it, by all means, I would suggest you keep on eating it, or Do not take it out of your diet because it's a very good source of nutrients.
Yeah, so if it's doing you good, leave it in. If you're in doubt, take it
Yes.
out. That sounds like good advice.
Thank you.
Excellent. This week's question is, do I need to take supplements on a low-carb diet or paleo diet? And if so, which ones? Well, from my point of view, I do take supplements. In fact, I take just a regular daily supplement, probably one of the more expensive ones from good old Dr. McCullough. And that's his Whole Food Multivitamin Plus, which has got vital minerals in it as well. I have tried taking other brands, but to be honest, I've found them a little bit ineffective. Really, I take those because I don't eat a lot of fruit, if any fruit. I don't eat that many vegetables because I don't really like them. So there are things that I personally am lacking. But obviously, if your diet's more balanced than mine, then you may not need some sort of multivitamin. But I know you've got some very, very concise thoughts on
Well,
that,
I've
Alan.
got lots of thoughts on that, so I'll try to keep it concise. But personally, since I've done all my research on GMOs, I've found that a lot of vitamins out there are synthetic vitamins or they come from genetically engineered ingredients. So personally, I stay away from that. But on the other hand, I use two what you would call supplements that are base food because food is my thing. So one is fish oil. We never have enough omega-3 fatty acids, so that's a good source. That's probably one of the best source of omega-3s. And the other thing is we are not typically paying enough attention to our gut health, and so I always take probiotics. And
Yes, yeah, I do as well.
that helps because your gut is your first line of defense in your immune system. If you don't keep it healthy, then you might end up with digestive problems and all sorts of food
Yeah.
allergies related to that. So these are the only two supplements that I take.
Every so often, I'll actually do a month's course of digestive enzymes as well.
Yes, that
You know,
helps.
which obviously they act a bit further
Yeah.
down the digestive
If you have
tract.
issues with digestion or acid reflux or something, you might consider some meat digesting enzymes to help you digest your, especially if you're on a paleo diet, if you eat a
Yeah.
lot of protein.
Now, don't you think that people who've got problems with acid reflux are either eating exactly the wrong stuff or the more they're eating too much?
That's true, but also depending on how your food is cooked, like your protein. Typically in America, a lot of the, especially a lot of fat food is fried, which typically causes acid reflux and your, over acidity in your stomach. So if you cook your meat either pan fried or in a stew, it's going to be a lot easier to digest, and the cooking process will actually start digesting the food for you. In a stew form or in a soup form. Pan fried is a little different. It's that will still be a little harder to digest for anyone that has trouble. Now, if you cook it, if you pre-cook it, it's going to be much more easy to digest than if you eat it straight off the pan.
So there you go. If you want to take supplements, it really is a personal choice at the end of the day. Obviously, if you're going to take them, take good quality ones, non-synthetic, non-GMO. More than anything, try and eat a good diet to start with.
Absolutely.
And don't forget, if you do like the show, please do hit the like button on our Facebook page. You can find that simply by using our shortcut URL, which is www.lowcarbpaleoshow.com. And talking of that, let's have a quick shout out to Tyler Braithwaite, who pushed the like button only a few days or so ago, as did Neil Rasmussen. Now it's time for our tip of the week. Alan, what is our tip of the week?
Well, I've been recently concerned about the radiation level in the Pacific water. So my tip of the week is to avoid eating fish, especially the large fish like tuna and salmon, from the Pacific Ocean. Instead, try to find fish that comes from the Atlantic Ocean. And as far as salmon, I would highly recommend Scottish, fresh salmon, and avoid farm-raised salmon.
That sounds good to me. So if you know anybody who's got a business that sells Atlantic salmon or Atlantic fish or Scottish salmon or Scottish fish, let us know and we'll put the links under the program. Okay, that's everything from us this week. I hope you enjoyed being with us for the last however many minutes it's been. We'll be back again next week. Until then, it's goodbye from me, Mark Moxham.
And Alain Brault, thank you for being with us, and à votre santé and to your health.
Thanks again, till next time.